condition, good padded seats, and heal wounds. Yes. You know, God is a good God. Don't ever forget that. You know, sometimes, you know, we forget, sometimes going through maybe tribulations and trials. And let me tell you, the Bible says that Christians will go through tribulations and trials. Sometimes we preach, and I say, oh, preachers are whatever. You know, we tell people, oh, you know, come to the Lord and everything will be great. Well, you'll be great, but that doesn't mean that things won't come against you. But you'll have a God that will stand with you. That's the difference. And He is the difference. You know, and I tell you, God's a good God. I don't, you know, whatever we go through, no matter what happens in our homes or in our families and what's going on, look, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in the world and everywhere else, keep your eyes upon Jesus. And I tell you, the Father, He is our leader and guide, and the Father will lead Him, and He will lead us into what He wants us to do. So keep your eyes upon the Lord, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening. Remember, He's number one, number one. No matter what's going on in the world, you know, pray for our leaders of our country every day. Pray for our president, you know, as he makes decisions and all that stuff. And let God be God in all those situations. Amen. Well, I know this Thursday, anybody knows what this Thursday is? What is it? 4th of July.
Yes.
The 4th of July. Amen. Yes, this Thursday, July 4th, some people call it Independence Day, July 4th, you know, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, that's okay. It's also a day that commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. The Continental Congress declared that the 13 colonies regarded themselves as a new nation, the United States of America, and were no longer part of the British Empire. Congress voted to declare independence 2 days earlier, which is on July the 2nd. 56 delegates to the Second Continental Congress represented the 13 former colonies which had declared themselves the United States of America, and they endorsed the Declaration of Independence. And Congress declared that day that they were a new nation, a new nation. And thank God for that, that they came out of the empire of the British colonies, or the British government, and declared themselves free from the tyranny of being taxed and the tyranny of the officials coming against them, as the 13 colonies were formed. And I really feel by God, because God knew in the day and age that we would export more Bibles than any other country could ever think of, people. Yes, we can look at our country, and we can see, we can point out probably all the negatives if we want to. That's just like looking at a glass. Is it half empty or half full? We can look at our country, and we can maybe see the decline of morality in certain areas, and even the rise of evil in certain areas of our country. But people, we have a lot to be thankful for. We had people come out of a colony or a British government, and they wanted freedom. Freedom to worship. You know, there was no cops outside or no government officials that you had to show any kind of identity to get into this place. They didn't stop you. They didn't stop you and say, where are you going? And if you said church, they didn't tell you to go back home. We have the freedom to gather together as a church, as a people, because of what people have, our forefathers have done for us. You might say, well, did they make all the right decisions? No, they didn't make all the right decisions. Who does? You know, who does? But I tell you what, they made a lot of great decisions, and they wrote a document that doesn't parallel with the word, but I tell you what, that document, the Declaration of Independence, was written and inspired by God. Let me tell you, these men gave their lives, some of them, for the signing of it because of what would come against them. But they stood up to the tyranny of a government. And sometimes we think we might have to stand up again for the tyranny of a government, sometimes our own government. Because you see, we have to do what God calls us to do no matter what. We have a great country, people. Yes, there's some off-wings, liberals, all over the place that say and do all kinds of things. But I tell you, the heart and the core of our country that keeps us settled and stagnant and keeps us right with the things of God is at the core of our being, of our government, as a declaration. Thank God we have our freedom to, you know, if I want to go and do whatever, I can go and do it if I want to. I'm not under the government that says yes or no, if, you know, certain extent. You might say, well, you're under God's government. That's right. That's the difference, though. That's the difference. But you see, we have a government that God has set up that has sent forth more missionaries than any other country, any other countries all put together. Besides maybe Britain or England. And that's poor. But more Bibles come from this country than any other country in the world. In the world. Just, I don't think that sinks into even my ears to imagine just the Gideons giving how many Bibles a year out, you know?
Over a million.
Every year.
Yeah.
Foreign countries.
We have 2,800,000,000 Bibles we have given away.
No. No other country. And you know where that money comes from? Americans. That's great, people. Our greatest, and it's the number one seller in all the world. I mean, you know, they don't even list it anymore in the Bibles. It's number one, no matter what. Number one. Yes, there may be some things that are a little upsetting at times, but I tell you, we have a lot to be thankful for. We need to continually pray for our country. It's 243 years, is that right, since the signing of the Declaration? Am I calculating that right, just offhand? I think it's 243 this year. Look, y'all calculating? Yeah, okay. You see, they're looking at me. Is he right? Andrew said yes. Otis, yes. Good. No, not two. Oh, I'm going for a third. Who says third? Mr. Jim said third. Thank you. That settles it. It's done. Praise God. Praise God. That we have our Bibles that we can bring and hold up to and cling to. And all the other things of our Lord and Savior. People, don't ever let anybody put this country down. Yes, there's many faults. But yet, there are many victories. There's no other country. There's no other country that men and women will die for like this country. I'm telling you. In the military. I mean, they have military all over the world. But we have you have to volunteer. A lot of these other countries, they just haul you in. You have no choice. Communist countries. We have a voluntary enlistment right now anyway. You know, at times they can do certain things. But voluntarily, and look, we have the greatest and biggest army, you know, as far as military might in all the world. In all the world. You might say, what about China? What about Russia? They're even part of that, people. They don't come close. They have some military, yes, But I tell you, didn't come close. The ingenuity of Americans, what God has given because of the Bible, people, because of God's word being spread abroad. Pray for our country. Pray for our president, that the power of the Holy Spirit will be upon this America, because we need more Bibles to get out. We need the preaching of the gospel to get out. We need more men and women to go into other countries and proclaim the word of God. And also, we need many preachers to rise up in America, true preachers of the gospel, that will preach the gospel uncompromisingly, the word of God, that it will go forth with power and authority and will change the lives of our people. You know, the answer to America's woes is not more money. We put more money into the welfare system than ever before. We need money, yes. Money will not solve America's problems. We have the best economy in all the world nowadays. We're producing more oil. Our economy is great. More oil, we're energy efficient as far as we produce more and we export more than Iraq, Iran, and all those areas. I'm telling you, it has changed. But that will not solve the problems of America. The only thing that will solve it is the preaching of the gospel and the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon a country. You see, it's the drugs in this town. There's a lot.
Yes.
The drugs in Kaplan and Gay, all over the, it's all over, people.
Yeah.
All over the place. That has wrecked many families, fathers and mothers. And children, and probably everyone knows, we can name some people we know, huh? That drugs, illegal drugs, has affected and destroyed their lives. Where they will break into a home and take everything they can, not just to go and get more drugs. They will sell everything they have just to get one more hit. They will do whatever it takes. Because they're so strung out on that stuff of illegal drugs that has tortured and decimated America. But I tell you what, the only thing that will change it is if the church will rise up and take its rightful position and come against those things, because it's a physical thing, but also it's more a spiritual thing. To come against those things and bind it in the name of Jesus and tell those things that it has to go in Jesus' name. And to rise up and declare the power of Almighty God to be upon our country as it was years and years ago. And still God says in the last days that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. My God. We're living and we know it in the last days. Last days to God could be 100 years, though. It doesn't matter. But we know because of the scriptures and what's being done and said and the evil that we're living in the last days and we need the power of Almighty God. Look, don't give up on your praying for your children. Don't give up on your praying for your grandchildren. Don't give up on praying for your spouse. Don't give up on praying for your family and friends, asking God to move. God is in the business of moving and saving lives. That's the power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. God can change every situation around if he wants to. He's waiting for people, as it says in Chronicles, that will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. The church body as a whole has turned from seeking his face and to seek his hand for a giving. God is not a welfare system. God says, seek my face, and he will give everything that we need or desire. Seek his face. I'd say, how do you do that? And I know sometimes we think, is it a religious thing that we got to lay on the floor? And hey, look, son, I like to kneel before God. That's just me. That doesn't mean you have to. Some people like to sit. Some people like to sit in their lazy boy. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey. Nothing wrong with that. Just so you get it before God. You know? And you just call upon him and say, Lord, see my family and friends, Lord. Lord, I pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God. Lord, you see our town that needs to be resurrected by your Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord God, move upon it. Lord, you see alcoholism and drugs that are tearing families apart. And Lord, but your mighty hand, please come and do a mighty work, Lord. You see, you look in the Old Testament in Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, it talks about the kings that will rise up. I mean, if you read through Chronicles, every chapter is almost a new king for Israel. I'm serious. I mean, it's bad. I mean, you're going, one chapter almost. Some were good and some were horrible. I mean, some were horrible, where they would have temples to Baal and right next to the temple of God. They would resurrect groves of evil. I can't go into that too much, but it was evil. Groves of things that just wasn't good. Good. I mean, they did idolatry. And God would let this king die, and God would raise up another king, and this king would do a good job, and he would tear down the Baal worship and tear down the temple, and would raise up the church again, or the temple, and have all the people in order and all the utensils made so that sacrifices could be made towards God. You see, there's only one way towards God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other door. I know all these religions, and a lot of them we hear in Dayton too. They look to all kinds of things for the door to the Father. There's only one door, and that man paid the price on Calvary's cross, and there is no other door. Don't let anyone convince you that there's another door. There's only one door, and that door is Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. The power of Almighty God. And that's who we declare, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the only door for salvation. He is the only door to help us. He's the only door that can get us into heaven. The power of Almighty God. If the church doesn't declare it, who will? See, what has made America great has been God. God Almighty. To read something to you. In 1893, at the age of 33, English professor Catherine Bates had taken a trip to Colorado Springs, Colorado. Came from there to teach a summer school session. While traveling on the train, several of the sites inspired her to write a poem called The Congregationalist. And this is the poem that she wrote. She's coming from the place that we broke away from. It was called The Congregationalist. It says, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies." And you're going to recognize this. "For amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, who stir impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for heroes provide, in liberty strive, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy goal refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. O beautiful for patron dream that sees beyond the years, thy alabaster cities gleam and dim my human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And I want to read this to you also. It says, the music to this poem was composed by church organist Samuel A. Ward. And in 1910, the music and Catherine Bates' poem was titled America the Beautiful. We have somebody that's not even an American write America the Beautiful. People, other countries long to be here. Now, there's certain ways to come in. We can't have open borders, people, at all. Can't have that. There has to be certain ways that people out there long to be what America is, people. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, they long to be here, people. They don't have, you know, the middle class in America is richer than 90% of all people around the world. You are rich. Now, I know we kind of like, most of us have basic two cars to drive. We have a house. We have air conditioning. We have nice furniture. We have money in the bank. You know, just we're blessed. And sometimes we can listen to politicians from everywhere, and sometimes we can think that we're not as blessed as what we think we are. We are a blessed people that God has set apart this place, America, to be the light for the world, to look at if you put God as your foundation, look what God will allow to happen to you. Now, when you turn away, certain things will come, just like Israel. When they turned from God, I mean, they went into captivity. God's people would go into captivity to other countries. We think, why? Not because God wanted it, but because they disobeyed God. People, we need to learn that in whatever thing, whatever we do for God, we need to obey him. Obey the things that he speaks to our hearts. Obey when God puts things in our hearts and we know it's God. Obey those things. So the Spirit of the Lord is not just speaking to speak. He speaks because there's something that needs to be done for the kingdom of God. It says that my people are led what by my Spirit. And we need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I don't know if it's God or not. Wait and see. Say, okay, Lord, I'm not sure. Let me know. I understand that. Sometimes we may not, you know, sometimes, you know, we can have voices from our own selves, from the enemy, and from God. But the Spirit of God speaks from the inside out. Because, you see, God lives in you. God lives in me. The Spirit of God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, God can speak audibly. Yes, he can. Definitely can. He can. That's not often though. But he can't speak audibly if he wants to. I want you to turn to scriptures. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 12. It says, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. God says we are to walk worthy of God. That means our everyday life should be walking with Him no matter what. We're to walk with Him, worthy of the calling, worthy of God and the calling that He has placed upon us. It's an amazing thing. And you know, that's a big statement. We're to walk with Him every day. Walk worthy of God who has called you into His kingdom and glory. Wow. Walk with Him. Get up in the morning and declare that you will walk. Hey, I didn't say, listen to me carefully. I didn't say be perfect. For no one's perfect. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a God. That means, let me tell you, you're going to make some mistakes tomorrow. You're going to make some mistakes this afternoon. I'm not talking about big, gross sin or whatever. I'm not that. But, you know, you're going to be doing something. You might get a little angry and God convicts. You might say something that you shouldn't say. God will convict. Thank God He convicts. That's what we want. That's how we know we're saved. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, cannot convict someone that is not saved. He can only convict from the inside that person if they are saved. They have been given over to the Spirit of the Lord. They have been given over to God. And so God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. So we're to walk worthy of that calling, worthy of what He's done in us. Worthy. Walk worthy of God. You might say, Pastor, I'm not worthy of God. You know, this week I was talking with somebody during the week on my route. I have a lot of people that go to different churches, and I know the Christians. I know who they are. You can tell people by the mail they get. It's true. You want to know somebody and who they truly are? Now, you know, I say, look at their checkbook. Now it's kind of look online. But look at their checkbook, who they write those things to, and look at their mail. And you can find out who they are for the most part. I'm just talking to somebody, and I know this lady's been a Christian a long time. Pentecostal Christian. You know, she loves the Lord. I'm just talking with her a little bit. You know, her and her brother, they were there. You know, they come meet me, so, you know, you just talk a little bit. Questioning her salvation. It blew me away. Been saved 20, 30 years, speaks in tongues, you know, I mean, just all that, and questioning about her salvation. And so here I am standing there saying, Lord, if she's questioning this, what else is she questioning? And so I said, you know, the scripture says that when we are saved, that we are in Christ and nothing else. That we are in Christ, not in church, not in your pastor, not in yourself, but I said, we are in Christ. I said, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, that I'm in Christ and you are in Christ, and you don't have to question your salvation. But she said, I repent every night. I said, that's good. And I said, but you need to trust Christ. And I know what she was getting at, and I didn't want to. There's something she's doing that she shouldn't be doing. I don't know what it is. But God is convicting her, and she keeps doing it, and she doesn't know how to overcome that thing. And say, but we have the answer. The answer is, put your faith in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. And the Holy Spirit, in doing that, will be leashed out to us, and He will help us to overcome the things that are bombarding us and coming against us. Might say, well, Pastor, will you have victory the first time? Maybe so, maybe not. But I tell you what, you keep putting your faith in him. You know, but I know that's what it is. And so she questions. Every time she sins, she thinks she's going to hell. And that's not true, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, don't we? We live almost in sin, because there's always something that God is working on in us. What today, I may think something's okay today to do, but to God it's not. And so, you know, he may not be convicting me today of that thing, and I don't know it because I hadn't read it in the Word or anything. So, but a year from now, maybe I stumble across it over the Word of God as I study the Scriptures. That's why you need to study the Scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto him. Read that Word. Get that Word in you. You might say, Pastor, I don't understand it. That's okay. He didn't say you had to understand it. He said, read it, believe it, and he will bring about the fruit that comes from it. And so that thing is bothering her. And so, but she has to look to, and I tried to tell her, you know, not that she had son, and say that, because people get upset sometimes. You know, you kind of go over it, you know, but you tell them, you give them the answer. And I said, you got to look to Christ. Yeah, but I'm not holy. You know, holy, you know, the way you drink. The way you dress and how you, and I said, that's not it. No. She stuck on those things. I said, that doesn't make you holy. I said, the blood of Jesus makes you holy. If we can make ourselves holy, we don't need Jesus. Now, we need to dress correctly. You know, come, you know, we need to do things correctly. But that's the Spirit of the Lord's job. To work in us. See, walk worthy of God. Say, Lord, when you get up in the morning, say, Father, I give you my life. I'm going to walk worthy. Spirit of God, convict me if I say or do something, or if I'm not to go to a certain place, or whatever, Lord, help me to walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. What a God we serve. Into not only his kingdom, we are in his kingdom here upon the earth right now. But one day he's coming and we'll be with him in his kingdom. And then we'll be in his full glory. There. That's the power of Almighty God. See, let's walk worthy of what God has put in us. It's an amazing thing. He didn't say run. So that means, I'm right in front of you. She's like, get away from me, bro. No, she didn't say, no, I'm messing with her. God says, we get saved. We start walking in the things of God.
Yes.
And things start to fall off. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Oh, no. But that means we're striving to be like him, because he's over there and he's living in us also. But we're striving to be like Jesus that lives inside of us. Don't be so hard on yourself. When you do fall and there's a little stumbling here, you turn back, you might want to get on your knees, however, or just say, Father, forgive me. And let me tell you, you got to believe the word you speak. Listen, when you say, Father, forgive me, do you really believe he forgives you? Say yes. Thank you. I know you nodded, and I know that. When you ask for forgiveness, for whatever, we know God says, if we confess our sins, that what? He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, huh? So, when we ask forgiveness, and we say, Lord, forgive me, what do we believe? Do we turn around and say, okay, I think he might have forgiven half of it because I'm still tortured in my mind. I still think maybe I should have done. No, 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 no. Okay, that's when you need to know scripture. When you ask for forgiveness of something, you know he forgives. It's done. That means he remembers it what? No more. No, I mean, can you imagine? No more. So when you ask for forgiveness, he remembers it no more at all. But if the devil comes and tries to torture you in your mind, because he's going to say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. You're supposed to be Christ-like, but you're not. You're not a Christian. Look, everybody's soul. You're not a Christian. I mean, it's just torture. You turn around. You're just speaking the word. You say, but the word of God says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe what Jesus said. I believe the Father. I believe his word that I am forgiven. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Get away from me. You see, don't be tormented by the enemy. Don't allow him to have access in that area of your mind. You see, he can't touch the heart so much because Jesus is there. But he can try to come into the mind. And that's why God says, what? Renew our minds. How? With the word of God. Think on things that are true, just, good, of good report, all those things. You see? And so, when you ask for forgiveness, people, I'm staying on this subject because I'm feeling the Spirit of the Lord stay here. When you ask forgiveness, you are forgiven. Not just 10%, not just 20%. Not 75%, not just 99.9999. No, 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 no. It's 100% with God. You're forgiven. That's it. He remembers it no more. Now, the effects of it might have to linger. Because what you put in the ground, it has to come up. Now, God can cut those things short if he wants to. Or if he wants to do those things. You are forgiven. Okay? Forgiven. You walk as a child of God. Walk. You'll walk with him. You walk as a child of God. Saying, Father, from this day forward, help me to do your will, Lord. And if you stumble and fall, you get up, you ask forgiveness, say, Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Whatever it is, you confess your sin, you ask God to forgive you, you get up, people. Don't stay down. This is what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to stay down. Because when you're down, you can't see God. When you're down, you can't see your Savior. When you're down, you can't look up. When you're down, you get depressed. When you're down, the devil works on your mind and he tries to destroy who you are in Christ. But let me tell you, we're in Christ. Remind him. I wanted to go into Revelations and remind the enemy when he comes after you about what God's going to do to him. He doesn't want to hear it. And all his little minions don't want to hear it. I say, is the devil real? He's real out there. He's the great deceiver. And he'll try to deceive us. He'll try to destroy you. Because the devil is what? God, he's a small g God, tries to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. That's the kind of God we serve. So every time something happens, you ask for forgiveness. And you say, Lord, I thank you for your scripture that says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me. And I thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, that I am justified by what I have just done. Lord God, I am right in right relationship to you because of what your scripture says, and I don't care what the enemy says anymore because your word is truth. Your word is truth. And you go on from there. You go on from there. And you let God be God in you. Let God be God. Getting back to our nation. I know there's many problems, people, but there's a lot of good. A lot of good. lot good. A lot good. I don't know how you feel about our president, Trump. Some have mixed feelings, some whatever. God says to pray for our leaders. Just on a personal point, I think he's done a great job. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. And he knows how to get things done. I was watching the news this morning. He walked over into North Korea. He asked the man, what's his name? Young, whatever. Young, what? Kim Young-un. Like, one. Thank God there's only one with that haircut. We can get on another, Lord help me. Get on another such of my barbers here. But I know it says that our president asked him, do you want me to walk over to your side? And the man said, to that effect, I wish you would. I wish you would do that. Something to that effect. And he walked over. Like it's nothing, people. I said, what if they would have tried to kill him? Look. You know, every night, Jelaine and I pray, and I know y'all know that. We pray for you every night. We get our Bibles. We use the Jimmy Swaggart Bible. She reads one for it. I read, you know, the Black. We just read together. We have our separate times, but we come together to read. And we pray for our church and all kind of other stuff. And we pray for our leader. The number one thing I want is for God to give him wisdom, but also to save his soul. Surround him with men and women that can give him godly counsel, the word of God. Because I know, as I'm reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles, every time the priest would come and give good counsel to the leader, the Israelites prospered because they had godly advice. And any time other priests, not from the priests of Israel, Baal's priests and all that other stuff, and when they would give counsel, the country would go back into idolatry and evil. And so we need to continue to pray for him, that God, in him and his wife, his children, grandchildren, all of them, you know, that God would protect them and give them and help them. Pray for our country, people. We've drifted away. Yes, I know in certain areas, but I tell you what, we need to pray God bring back the pendulum. We need God. We need God. Fight them before. We're a blessed people. Don't ever forget that.